The assigned lectionary gospel passage for this Sunday of Epiphany comes from Matthew. It is the story of Jesus calling his first disciples. It is a very similar story to be found also in Mark, which was written first, and also in Luke, beginning with verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptist, had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Typical of the first semester in seminary, there is a class that is broken into small groups, and new students share what is known as their call story. And I vividly remember to this day, just over 30 years ago now, when it was my turn to share what I understood as God's calling to me into ordained ministry, which in the Presbyterian understanding involves not only a personal call, but also a communal call that is confirmed by a person's home church and also by their home presbytery. Now, I'm not going to share with you this morning my call story, but I want to encourage you to reflect upon your understanding of being called into ministry. And know that does not automatically mean being called to be a pastor of a congregation or as a missionary in some third world country. For I use the word ministry in its broadest sense. For we hold to the belief that God places a call onto our hearts, minds, and spirits of everyone by virtue of our baptism. And that's why our worship bulletin every Sunday lists ministers, all the members of the congregation. So perhaps a more understandable phrase is to ask how you have responded to the call of active and faithful discipleship. And by discipleship, I simply mean how each one of us follow the ways and teachings of Jesus in our daily lives, personally and professionally. And just 2 weeks ago, during a called session meeting, we asked the new incoming ruling elders onto the session to begin their 3-year term how they understood their being called by God to serve this congregation and denomination in a leadership capacity. So using this morning's gospel passage from Matthew 4 as a guide, when Jesus calls for fishermen to follow him, we're going to explore the issue of what it means in your life and mine and in the life of this congregation to respond to Jesus' call to follow him. Now Matthew reports that as Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. One who is named Simon, who will later be renamed Peter, and his brother Andrew. And both were working together to cast a net into the sea. And I get a very big kick out of what Matthew added, for they were fishermen. As if his readers needed an explanation of why two grown men were casting a net into the sea. Nevertheless, with an economy of words, Jesus simply says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And without any explanation of why, we're told that they immediately left their nets and followed him. And the same thing happens when Jesus comes across two other brothers, James and John. And they were mending their nets in a boat with their father, Zebedee. But this was obviously the family business and their livelihood. Now, on a literal level, the act of immediately leaving their profession seems oddly impractical, perhaps irresponsible, and therefore not all that realistic. But the gospel writer is simply following a common literary pattern known as a call story, dozens of which occur in both the Old and New Testaments. And a primary characteristic of most call stories is to explain the abruptness and the total commitment demonstrated by those being called by God. And in the case of Simon and Andrew, they give up their profession, their very livelihood, in order to follow Jesus. And you know, this is still somewhat common among what we call second career pastors. And James and John, though, give up more than that. For they also violated the patriarchal system of their day by not asking for the permission of their father, but simply left him sitting in the boat. That's not cool by any societal standards. So rather than attaching too literal of an interpretation to these call stories, their primary purpose was to indicate that answering the call to discipleship comes with a cost. We are therefore being informed that perhaps there are some things that we must give up in order to follow Jesus as our guide and teacher. But you know, that shouldn't really surprise us, because there is no ministry effort that doesn't bear a cost, whether it be in the form of the sharing of our time or of our talents, and even, yes, at times, our financial resources. And sometimes it involves moving out beyond our comfort zones. And we experience this, for example, every time we put being inclusive into practice. Now, a major point of the story of Jesus' calling of the first disciples, then, is to indicate the response of those being called by Jesus. And the four fishermen, again, without any explanation of what Jesus was actually calling them to do, responded by dropping everything and immediately following Jesus by joining with him in his ministry. But you know, the Bible has some other examples and types of responses to those being called by God. For example, Moses. Remember his story? His first response was to say that he had a speech impediment and that God should send somebody else to Pharaoh. And Jonah's first response was to get into a boat and hightail it into the exact opposite direction of where God wanted him to go, which was to Nineveh. Therefore, here is what we are faced with. Since you and I are also called by God in one fashion or another, to discipleship and to a particular ministry effort, it makes sense that we should also pay careful attention to how we respond. Even if we begin by giving some kind of justification of why God must have gotten the wrong person or the wrong congregation, do we usually end up responding by following the call or not? So without any guilt trip intended, is there perhaps a calling to which you have yet to respond? And let me state at this point that this congregation, for 108 years now, has a very long history of faithfully answering the call to discipleship and ministry in this neighborhood, in this town, in this presbytery, and beyond. Now, concerning the actual call to discipleship itself, just how is it that we hear or discern or experience that call in the first place? It's a common question. Well, like most spiritual things, that depends upon your own understanding of the nature and character of God. Therefore, trying to precisely describe just how God puts a call on our hearts and minds varies from person to person. And I've always contended that God speaks to each and every person's heart, mind, and spirit in the way and the manner in which that person can hear and understand. So again, that will depend upon your own theological understanding of God. And that also means that how you hear and discern God's call may even change throughout your own journey of faith. Because it certainly has for mine, as my own theological perspectives have changed and have become broader and more progressive. But there are a few things, however, that might help you to hear, to discern God's call to follow. So as far as the ministry efforts in your personal life and within this congregation are concerned, I would suggest that God is calling you to the particular service that excites you the most. Those areas that are a good match with your God-given gifts and talents and resources. And the type of ministry you feel most passionate about. And the projects or organizations that energize you, not drain you. But I want you to know that there is such a thing as compassion fatigue, something of which pastors are susceptible to as well, thus at times calling for a break, or perhaps a new direction. But this thought process is what each of our ruling elders use to discern what team, ministry team, to serve on during this coming year on the session. But I also want to suggest the same process to each one of you. To see where you might best offer your time and talents and ministry efforts to the life of this community of faith, or to wherever you find yourself. And if you need some help in that discernment process, perhaps I, or another congregation member, or a family member, or friend can help you in this discernment process. Now going back just briefly to Matthew's gospel story. The initial call to those four fishermen was quite focused and specific. Upon hearing Jesus' call to follow him, they started a new kind of fishing. Fishing for people. Now, if an element of our own calling involves a similar directive, then what exactly does that mean? Well, I agree with most modern biblical interpreters that consider the phrase fish for people not primarily as a way to grow church membership and fill the pews. For after all, there was no church to fill at that time. But rather, fishing for people was a way to invite other people into a way of life that lives out and furthers the realm and kingdom of God in our midst. So it's more about relationship than it is about the institution. And the term that perhaps best describes this element of discipleship is evangelism, the sharing of good news. And while this term is all but a four-letter word for most Presbyterians, It's nonetheless something that we're trying hard to reclaim. And that's because evangelism, in and of itself, doesn't have anything to do with any particular theological perspective, such as evangelicalism. Therefore, we can all reach out to others with the good news of God's inclusive love and grace and acceptance and forgiveness. And our dedication to issues such as progressive theological thought, peace and justice and inclusion and equality, and providing a safe and hospitable space where folks like you can explore and question your own journey of faith. Let this reaching out be a priority for all of us during this coming year. And remember the simplicity and clarity of Jesus' call, recognizing that the words, "Follow me," are more of an invitation than they are a command. So, as always, how you and I respond to that call to follow Jesus is up to each one of us, both individually and as a congregation. So let us now then join together in the litany of Paul printed on your bulletin insert. A sacred presence called long ago.
A sacred presence
compelled prophets and disciples to follow.
A sacred presence compels us to follow.
A sacred presence called to Simon and Andrew, James and John, and others, persuading them to share the good news, to turn to the ways of God and accept God's redemptive love.
A sacred presence calls to us today that we might be persuaded to share to turn back to the ways of God and accept God's redemptive love.
Empowered by God, women and men of old answered the call to service.
Empowered by God, women and men of today answered the call to service.
A sacred presence called long ago.
A sacred